So next is plotting graph. How you are going to plot graph of your studies. So you can use MS Excel worksheet for that. So you are going to represent your graph in the form of a pie chart or in the form of a bar diagram. So pie chart, you might have seen somewhere in some research paper. The pie charts are used to represent the data in the form of a parts or percentage. So it is represented in two-dimensional or three-dimensional structure. Next is bar diagram. The column form of data representation is done in between x and y axis. So this is useful in giving the direct comparison between two sets of observation with the same set of variables. For example, the population living in the different district of a state. You can put population in y axis and district in x axis. So likewise, you can plot bar diagram. So the graph has the following component, and all of these should be given due attention. So we will see them one by one. Data, accurate data should be placed in worksheet in a right way. Axis, x-axis and y-axis should be taken with due care with the appropriate minimum and maximum values of scale. The major and minor units of scale should be according to the desired and full display of data. Next is labeling. Axis should be labeled along with the unit of measurement. Grid lines, x and y axis grid lines may be shown if desired for certain purpose. Legends. Legends should be clear, brief and easy to identify. The color or the sign of legend of a particular set of data should be unique in a single graph. The layout and positioning legend should be uniform for all graphs. Next is error bar. Many high impact journals demand inclusion of error bar in each line curve and bar diagram. So this can be done with the help of MS Excel. While pasting the graph from Excel to worksheet, you can either paste the graph as an entire worksheet or with link to worksheet or only as a curve with no link. If you paste the curve with entire worksheet, you can edit the graph from the Word file itself. Now, what are the things you should never do while writing your result part? The first thing, you should never manipulate your result, because an expert evaluator can easily trace it and its consequences may be very bad. So don't manipulate the result and do not ignore negative findings. You should mention the negative findings of your research wisely and do not over-actualize the things. Mention the result, the data and the observations as you have observed them, and do not repeat the things unnecessarily. So all these things you are going to keep it in mind while writing the result part. So now moving to the discussion part. See, the discussion part of your thesis, it is the centric part and everyone wants to read, because discussion is going to reflect that how justified your work is. So discussion is, you have to support your findings with the help of the selected authentic literature paper. Literature paper, or it may be a research paper or review paper. Your discussion part should be strong enough to deal with any of the query of readers or evaluator. And one thing I would like to suggest, that don't write discussion part in hurry. Write it calmly so that you can easily justify the interpretation which you have mentioned in your result. Mark the most supportive research paper, read them exhaustively, frame the raw background by connecting and correlating it with your data. Discussion provides the interpretation of your research finding and its significance in the related area of research, and finally stating the additional new findings along with the existing one. The discussion part grooms your finding and enforces the reader to think critically and analyze the research problem. And of course, it brings out the space for further extension of the study. So overall, it reflects the importance of your study in the existing subject area. So how you are going to write discussion? You can start by writing your research problem in brief, following importance of your study in context. Write it in brief just to bring the rhythm. Mention similar studies. Compare and contrast your research findings with existing one and discuss possible reasons of similarities and dissimilarities with other related studies. Follow the same sequence of writing as you did in result section. Discuss how other researches supported your findings. Other researches include references of reputed and high impact journal, not just others with no credibility. If you do so, your entire research may be questionable. Next is mention if any clinical relevance is there, and it should also be supported by the literature review. Consider alternative findings if you can justify with the supportive literature. State limitations and weaknesses of your result, and please mention it wisely. Make suggestions for further research. Lastly, concise the summary of the principal finding regardless of their significance. So dear learners, what are those things which you should never do while writing discussion? Firstly, do not overinterpret your result. Secondly, do not add new result. Do not unnecessarily repeat the discussion, and do not criticize other researchers. See, if you don't agree with someone, you can mention it professionally, but you need not to criticize anybody while discussing your studies. So what all we have covered so far in this module? We have covered how to write result, how to do tabulation of your result, and how to plot graph, pie chart, bar diagram, and how to write discussion, and what are the important things to be focused while writing discussion. And always remember that your discussion part should be supported, that the interpretation which you are going to do should be supported with the authentic and relevant research papers. So now moving to how to write result and discussion simultaneously. That means what you have to do when you need to write result and discussion combinedly. We have discussed how to write result separately, discussion part separately. Now, if you need to write it combinedly, the sequence you have to, first you have to keep in mind the sequence. You have to go back to the listed methodology, follow the same sequence. You can take the data of experiment one by one, and you can start interpretation of those data. You can start justifying your interpretation with the help of supporting literature there itself. The things which you should keep it in mind is the supportive literature should be authentic. It should be preferably research paper, and a research paper of a could impact. The other thing which you should keep in mind, that the location of table and figure, the location of table and figure should be appropriate so that one can easily connect them. So it will be easy to understand. Now moving to conclusion. In some cases, the conclusion can be given at the end of results and discussion. But alternatively, a one-page conclusion be given separately. You should just mention the conclusion in three paragraphs. First, dealing with the aim and need of the study. Second, dealing with the experiment done. And last, with the final results. So sometimes the future plan or the further studies needed to be done are added in conclusion. So next is references. See, how to write references? We have already discussed. So just recall that one single style of writing reference you have to opt, and the references which you mention, which you cite in the introduction, in the literature review, in the material and method, should be of latest one. Now moving to the summary. So in PhD thesis, you are required to submit the summary of the work in the same number as that of chapters. Plan chapter-wise summary or abstract and compile them. So each chapter summary should state the content or the matter discussed in the particular chapter. So never ever take the summary lightly. Many times the thesis reviewer makes the summary as the basis of its evaluation. The length of summary should be around 8 to 12 pages depending on the number of chapters. So each chapter summary should neither be too brief nor be too lengthy. So at least important results must be mentioned in the summary. So next is setting margins, font size, heading and subheadings, chapter title, header footer, paragraph setting, table and figure, equation and special characters. So all this, for all these things, there may be some written guidelines as per your institute, university, or maybe you have to follow your supervisor instructions. And if there are no such guidelines, you can just follow the standard format of writing. The standard format is double line spacing with font of Times New Roman, 12 font size, and 1-inch margin from all the corners of pages. Now moving to the title and cover page. So title and cover page, your cover page of your thesis, it is very important. So you have to check each and every aspect very, very carefully. First thing, the title. The title of your thesis, it should exactly match with the title which you have mentioned in your synopsis. The other information, say for example, your name, your supervisor's name, your co-supervisor's name, your institute or your university name, and the logo of university, the positioning of the logo of your university. So all these things comes in the cover page. So give utmost attention to the title page. So other part like acknowledgement, index and appendix, you have to write. So how you are going to write acknowledgement? The acknowledgement, you are going to acknowledge your supervisor and those persons we have genuinely contributed in doing your research and in writing your thesis. Index, you have to make index of your thesis right from introduction to the last conclusion. And the appendixes, you have to include the list of table, list of figures, and list of abbreviations which you have used. And one thing which I would like to say, that the plagiarism should not be there in your thesis. Whether you write introduction, or whether you write your result, discussion part, or the references which you are using, you should cite them properly and it should be completely free from plagiarism. So next is the role of your supervisor. See, the role of supervisor is very important. It is the responsibility of a student to get in close touch with the supervisor. You can ask for the time slot from your supervisor, as they may be busy in the other academic activities. So you can report them weekly, monthly, or you can also report them daily. You have to discuss the important and the critical points to be discussed with the supervisor. And please do not do any changes without the consent of your supervisor. So dear learners, in the entire module of result and discussion, we have covered how to write result part, how to write discussion, how to combine result and discussion, and what are the things to be kept in mind while writing discussion, what to do, what not to do while writing discussion. So all these things we have covered. So dear learners, please attempt weekly quiz and go through from the further readings, and do take part in our discussion forum if you have any query regarding the content of this module.